First, Dr. Rabelais, can you explain what Gulf hypoxia is and where the nitrogen and phosphorus pollutants that cause it come from?
The dead zone, as it's as known, it's really not completely dead, but it's an area of low oxygen in the Gulf of Mexico that forms every year now, at least since the 1970s, and is a result of the fresh water from the river creating a layered system and the nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, stimulating phytoplankton, excess growth, which sinks to the bottom, and then in the decomposition process uses up the oxygen on the bottom. So we have very large areas with insufficient oxygen for most fish, crabs, shrimp, things that you think of living on the bottom cannot. They have to flee the area. The nitrogen and phosphorus come from the Mississippi River watershed, which is predominantly an agricultural watershed. Over half of the land is in some sort of agricultural production, either farmland or rangeland. The nitrogen and phosphorus are tied primarily to row cropping, soybean, corn rotation, and other crops, and again, the pastures. And those data come from the U.S. Geological Survey, and they're calculated based on something called the Sparrow Model, and the input from nitrogen and phosphorus along the watershed as it enters the Gulf of Mexico.
Break down the major findings of this year's study. How does it compare with overall trends you've documented over the years?
This year, we predicted a sort of normal low oxygen area based on the amount of nitrate that entered the Gulf in May. We used a prediction on the a bet on the size of the low oxygen in our late summer, our late July cruises. The river discharge and nutrient loads were about average in May, but with continued rain through the watershed, the river discharge and the nutrients went up. They were not diluted. They went up in June, and then we had record-breaking rainfall in July. So everything that it takes to develop and maintain the low oxygen area was not only present in the spring, but then existed well into the summer, which led to a larger than predicted. The size possibly have been larger because the area was pushed to the east. Very often extends into Texas waters, but those winds sort of pushed it away from Texas and pushed it all into Louisiana and possibly Mississippi. Had some this year as well, but that's not where our cruise takes us.
What are the effects on Gulf Coast and Mississippi Delta marine ecosystems and the people that depend on them?
Well, we don't have a collapsed fishery like the Baltic Sea does. We still manage to catch plenty of shrimp and fish. What we're losing, though, is lost production. The shrimp are not getting to go offshore to grow to a larger size. If fuel prices are high, sometimes the trawler has to decide whether to go offshore or not further to get out of the low oxygen, get out of the dead zone. Charter fishers going for things that live on the bottom, like red snapper, may decide if the fuel cost is too high, which it had been until the last year, just not to go. So it affects both commercial and recreational fishing businesses.
In 2001, a federal and state task force set targets to reduce the size of the Gulf Dead Zone by 2015. The goal was to bring the area down to less than 2,000 square miles, far smaller than what you found this year. What are researchers and environmental authorities saying about seriously tackling this problem?
Well, the fact that the Nutrient Hypoxia Task Force exists is a public recognition that it is a problem. The type of agriculture that's predominant in the watershed is industrial agriculture, which relies heavily on fertilizers, which over the long run is probably not going to be sustainable. There are other farmers who are looking at perennial crops, crops with deeper roots, land cover over the land, or just leaving the crops on the land after the season, the harvesting season is over, and using some of those seeds and grains to make bio pellets that can fuel can be used instead of corn as a biofuel. So there are a lot of things that are being done on a smaller scale that can help curb the excess use of nitrogen and phosphorus, but it hasn't been addressed on the really grand scale.
Is there political will to address those issues on a larger scale?
I don't think so. I don't. We've been since 2001, 14 years now with this goal, and there has not been a real change in the nutrient loads into the Gulf. The USDA has a Mississippi River Initiative where they have pilot projects to try to reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus. And so there is some effort within federal agencies, but the larger political will, such as conservation set-asides and lack of huge subsidies for corn products and things like that, haven't been demonstrated.
Dr. Nancy Rabelais is the executive director of the Louisiana University's Marine Consortium. She joined us by phone from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. For FSRN, I'm Nell Abram.